It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Yes, we're with Marama Davidson, who's covering with James Shaw. Are you there, Marama?
Kia ora, Morena. Yes, I am.
Fantastic. How are you going today?
Really good, thank you. Getting down to the wire, so but it's still campaign hard time.
Yeah, definitely. So this week on the lead up to the election, we're focusing on livability. So we're focusing on issues such as homelessness, poverty and housing. And this is timely considering the Green Party's renting and insulation policy that they announced yesterday. So we'll be talking about that policy a bit later on. But first I want to ask you broadly, how livable do you think New Zealand is right now?
Nowhere near as livable as it actually could be, and that's pretty sad because we have got an incredibly amazing country. We've got we're wealthy. This is a wealthy country. We've got everything we need here for absolutely everybody to be living good, decent lives with dignity. And sadly, we know that it's not the case for far too many thousands, and for more and more people who are doing everything they are supposed to be doing, but are finding it harder and harder to meet their basic living costs, to be able to deal with any sort of emergency or actually just ordinary life events that come up. And it's nowhere near as livable as it should be. Our public transport is not as efficient, affordable and accessible as it should be. Our rivers, drinking water, are not always as drinkable and safe as it should be. Our mitigation for climate events is also not as strong as it could be. And so, you know, and we've all been talking about just the pure ability to be able to live in a warm, affordable, secure home. These are pretty basic things, and it's not livable for everybody, and for too many people it's actually a real struggle, and it's a shame and it's disappointing in this country.
Well, if we are a rich country, why are we facing these issues? Shouldn't we be able to solve them?
Absolutely, we should be. We're facing these issues because of inequality. So while we are a rich country, a wealthy country, far too much of the wealth has been held in the hands of a few. And 50% of New Zealanders, of the lower earners and least wealthiest part of the country, are scraping over a tiny little bit of our wealth and of our wealth and income. And so the inequality means that in a wealthy country, far too much of the wealth is concentrated in the hands of a few, and the majority of people are scraping over the crumbs. And so that's what we have to do, is redistribute our wealth and our incomes, and that's what this government has refused to do.
And how do you do that? You can't just take money out of the rich few's bank accounts.
You can tax people. That's definitely one way of helping to redistribute. You can, and you're going to have to intervene in the market. So leaving things up to the bare market has not solved inequality or housing issues any bloody where in the world. And this government has refused to increase taxes for the top earners, including politicians, and this government has refused to drop the taxes for the lowest earners. This government has refused to intervene enough in the housing market and is purely relying on supply, and even on supply issues this government has not delivered. You strengthen unions rather than weaken them and disempower them. You make sure that you've got strong workers' rights and working conditions in this country rather than undermining them and lessening workers' rights, which is what this government has done. You make sure that you've got strong social service provisions that are adequately funded and resourced instead of cutting the funding, which is what this government has done. You make sure that the operations funding for schools increases. This government has frozen the operations funding for education. These are all the things. You make sure that you are prioritising investment into public transport instead of brand new highways that don't make a difference to the Auckland congestion or to congestion around other cities. I mean, you know, the solutions have always been here. The solutions have always been clear. this government has a political will and has chosen not to use its tools to ensure that the wealth in this country makes living in this country livable for everybody.
Right. Well, back to taxes. So you said to redistribute the wealth, one of the things we need to do is increase taxes on the rich. Your coalition leader, Jacinda Ardern, has vowed not to raise taxes in her first term. Surely that must be quite disappointing for you as a party that works hand in hand with the Labour Party and would be if you won the election.
Yeah, and so we're saying to people, party vote Green, because only with the Greens strong in the heart of the next government, and we want to work with Labour, is what our MOU is, but also we've got our points of difference. And I'm really happy to highlight that our point of difference with Labour is that we will increase the top tax rate, we will have a capital gains tax. And if people want to see a truly, truly progressive government working with Labour, then they're going to have a party vote strong for the Green Party so that at the negotiating table, we can push for those points of difference. We can push for the truly progressive policies that only the Greens are standing up for. Yes, absolutely. Clearly, it's a point of difference. It's not the only point of difference, but it's the reason why the Greens need to be strong and why we are fighting hard for people to give us their party vote.
Right. Well, moving on to your rental policy announced yesterday, the policy includes a rental warrant of fitness by 2019, limits on rent raising, and landlords needing to become licensed in order to rent out their properties. For landlords to get this license, they need to be, and I quote, a fit and proper person. Surely you can't fully judge the value of someone's character to decide whether they are fit to rent a house.
Sorry, the last part of the question, surely I can't...
Surely there can't be a way to fully judge the value of someone's character to decide whether they're fit to rent houses out or not.
Oh, so a register would help us keep a track and help us audit those people who are currently in the business of using homes as a business. It's one step, it's not the whole step, but part of having a landlord register is to gather a picture of how different landlords are operating, because that's going to go hand in hand with audits. With the mandatory warrant of fitness requires the audits to happen, where we assess the houses that landlords are renting out and also assess their track record on how they uphold the maintenance, how their upkeep of that home is, whether or not they respond to maintenance requests and repairs efficiently. And so a register is simply gathering that information and making landlords accountable for running that business. You know, a lot of businesses that run, you have to register. Social workers have to register to make sure that they are are accountable and fit for doing their job. We absolutely need to be robust in how we are going to assess that, yes, but a start is having landlords register.
Mm. And the Green Party also wants a fixed term lease of 3 years as the standard lease provided to renters. But for many young people who face massive job insecurity and are sort of moving around every 6 months to a year, this could be quite difficult for them to agree with. And with young people already struggling hugely to secure leases, would this not lower the chances of them getting homes even more?
No, that's no problem. So what we've said is it's a minimum term of 3 years that can be less if both parties agree to it. What it is a stronghold, a protection against what is currently happening, which is tenants are being turfed out and evicted purely because the landlord wants to sell the house or purely because they want their family to move in. So this is a protection, and if they want to negotiate lesser terms, they can, absolutely can.
But a lot of, negotiating your terms might involve lawyers, it would involve more time, and a lot of young people would...
No, you can just set it when you sign the contract. It's a real standard thing to happen around the world. So what we're saying is 3 years minimum is the default, so that landlords cannot get away with putting people on a 3-month trial, which is what is happening at the moment. People want to rent their homes for as long as they need to. All this is doing is not giving landlords that power, and the tenants can, of course, just said it in the contract. It's not lawyers. It's none of that. It's just tenants being able to say, no, we'll take a lesser term, thanks.
But wouldn't landlords be more likely to go and support or go and get tenants on board that aren't going to ask for to change the terms or negotiate it? And it's a very intense market. I know at the moment, it took me a very long time to find a house myself, and the homes were going to sort of families that were sort of more stable and less likely to move. So wouldn't landlords be more likely to go with them, putting more, so they don't have to change the terms of the contract, putting more stress on students and young people looking for homes?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's really important for families to be able to have some sort of sense of security. It's really important because what we're seeing in schools at the moment, and principals and teachers are telling us, is that families are moving. They've got 50% of their role as transient because of this very problem, because families are not given secure tenancies, and so this is an important problem that we absolutely have to fix. And I don't see that it will be a problem for those students who need to negotiate a lesser term as well to be able to have that in place. Now, if they start off with a 3-year term, they can still negotiate that down if they do need to change their mind. So the biggest problem we've got at the moment is secure tenancies, including for students. And so this minimum 3-year default that is still able to be negotiated is going to make a positive difference to so many people.
Right. So the policy will also abolish the use of letting fees, which is definitely good for renters. But some property management businesses and landlords may severely suffer from this dramatic loss of income. Why are you choosing to abolish these fees rather than lowering them or putting a cap on it?
Shouldn't be tenants who pay it. They're not the ones running the business. I'm happy to abolish those, actually. And if you're in a business and you can't pay your own business fees, then you shouldn't be in the business.
So you're not concerned about the dramatic loss of income that many businesses would face by losing tenancy fees?
No, I'm more concerned about people who cannot move into homes because of hiking letting fees.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Marama. That's all the time we have today. Thanks for coming on the show, and I hope you have a great day.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Kia ora. Cheers.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.